WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The federal government shut down for another day. ABC's Johnny Fernandez says there will be another vote on the budget, but it's likely to fail.
Democrats demand Republicans reverse $1 trillion in Medicaid cuts and extend $400 billion in Obamacare subsidies to stop premiums from soaring for millions.
I'm allowed to cut things that should have never been approved in the first place.
The fight is far from over, with the jobs of federal workers at stake. The president signaled plans to work with the White House budget director to decide which government programs to eliminate.
The superintendent of schools in Des Moines, Iowa, detained by immigration officials last week, now facing federal charges. This is sentencing day for Sean Diddy Combs. Prosecutors say he deserves 11 years behind bars on prostitution charges. His lawyers say time served should be enough. And Taylor Swift's Life of a Showgirl dropped at midnight. This is ABC News.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 107.5 WLAK.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The great part is you just won $1 million on Wheel of Fortune, making yourself the biggest winner ever. The tough part? You filmed the episode in May and had to keep it a secret from your boyfriend and family for 4 months. 34-year-old Christina Derevyanik of Connecticut had just started dating the boyfriend and managed to keep everything on the QT. She held a watch party in Stamford and her boyfriend found out while watching in Boston. Derevyanik also says, like most people who win a lot of money, she is not quitting her job, at least not until the boss refuses her raise. If you're looking for a film to watch at home this weekend, check out Caught Stealing. The Darren Aronofsky-directed film is a good caper about an ex-baseball player who gets mixed up with gangsters thanks to his goofy neighbor. The film stars Zoe Kravitz and Austin Butler, and it's definitely worth a look. Caught Stealing is now available to stream at home on video on demand. Check it out. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bring on the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. It's the Brewers and the Cubs tomorrow, just after 1 p.m. in Game 1 of the Best of 5 Divisional Series in Milwaukee. After being swept by the Yankees in New York at the start of the season, who would have thought the Brewers would set a franchise record of 97 wins on the way to winning their division? Pat Murphy.
No one expected this, to break the franchise record for wins. Would you have said that coming out of New York or after opening day here? It just shows you who's in the room.
The Brewers have had the past week off. Another workout session at the ballpark today. Are they ready now for the playoffs? Freddy Peralta will start for Milwaukee.
We just have to stay focused and keep doing what we've been doing, trusting in each other, just to remind us ourselves that we never have to give up and keep going.
College football, the Badgers take on number 20th ranked Michigan in Ann Arbor. Kickoff tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. with Sports on Mike Clemens.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers are in the big house to battle Michigan. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 107.5 FM, 1260 AM, WLAK.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, we'll get you set for the National League Division Series because we'll finally know who the Milwaukee Brewers are playing and when Game 1 gets started on Saturday.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
Fall-like temperatures will be back next week. We're going to be dealing with this sunny, summer-like weather for a few more days. Today, sunshine, mid to upper 80s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, back into the 60s. Tomorrow, sunny and windy with a high again in the mid to upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp, 62.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Actor, writer, and my son, Joe Schwabba. Do you have a favorite one-hit wonder song, Joe?
I don't know. That's not great radio.
30
I'm
seconds.
Giving you right now. But,
what does the Fox say? We grew up kind of in the same era, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what does the Fox say? Or Gondentile?
Oh, those are terrible.
That's another one. Oh, whatever.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'll be joined by State Representative Lee Snodgrass, who's joined with Democrats to introduce a bill that makes it a requirement for elected officials to spend some time working on elections. What a novel idea.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Well, the final day of World Dairy Expo is upon us, with the supreme champion to be named starting at 4 p.m. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you. Happy Friday here on the Midwest Farm Report. I admit it is bittersweet that this busy week is coming to a close, but it truly has been a pleasure sharing stories of Expo with you here on the early show and showcasing how Wisconsin is highlighted during this international event. We've got more Expo updates on the way today. And in other news, farms are already starting to watch yield monitors for 2025, thinking about 2026. We'll catch up with Helena Agri about what you should know. We're also introducing you to a Wisconsin farm that got started the same time as the women's suffrage movement and the start of Prohibition. The year was 1919. But first, our own Kylie Allen has an important update on how to get the most out of your pasture in the late season. Stick around.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
They believe in protecting the families and children in our farming communities. Kids love to be included in the daily farm activities, but accidents can happen quickly. Reduce the chance of injury by making sure your farm is a safe environment for adults and kids. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Hey, everybody, calm down. It's okay.
Oh, it's coming. The farm animals can always feel it.
Is that an earthquake? I didn't think those happened in the heartland. Aren't we harvesting Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans today?
It's not an earthquake. It's the aftershock of unleashing Z-Series soybeans.
You did mention a yield advantage of nearly 4 bushels an acre.
Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
September and October are what Jason Cavadini, the Extension Grazing Outreach Specialist, considers to be optimal months for grazing. And he says this year is no different. And Jason tells us why we're seeing some of the best forage growth that he's seen in the last 10 years.
It's just been an exceptional year for cool season perennial grasses. There's multiple reasons for that. We've had plenty of rainfall, and it's kind of been timed. So, like, typically we think of cool season grasses, especially as we hear this term summer slump. That's because if you look at the normal growth curve of a grass, it'll slump for a while, kind of in the dog days of summer, I guess. But this year that was timed up with plenty of rainfall. And so the summer slump was pretty minor, if at all. And so, and now we're kind of coming into, I call September and October the best part of the grazing season. And so we're coming into that now. And so we're kind of seeing a year where growth has been abundant from start to finish, even though we're not to the finish line yet.
And while we're in this best part of the growing season, is there any care that we need to do to make sure that we're maximizing the potential of that grass?
Yeah, so, I mean, we talk a lot about trying to, having one of our priorities, keeping the grass and legumes vegetative. So basically what that means is if you're familiar at all with the growth stage, which a lot of us have a even a minimal understanding. So like in the spring, grasses just take off growing, and then eventually we start to see seed heads. That means they've reached maturity, and then every day beyond that, forage quality goes down. If we've done anything to manage that mature material to remove it, whether it's from grazing, harvesting, or clipping off seed heads, essentially what we're doing is setting that grass back to the vegetative stage. And grasses, most of them, only reach maturity once in a growing season. And so now we're not fighting against that anymore for the rest of the season. And so I would say that it should be the number one objective of anyone with animals on pasture is to get the most. We use the term utilization, which means to use as much of that material as possible. We want to keep it vegetative because we'll get less refusal from animals and actually the most gain because it's high in nutrients.
Now tell me, if I'm out looking at my pasture and I'm thinking maybe it doesn't look like you're describing as maybe yep. full and flush as it could, why would you suspect that would be? What are some things I can do about it?
Well, it all starts with management. So we talk a lot about management in our grazing programming, and it's there's a lot of things that go into management. It all starts with understanding how many animals our land can hold. And that starts with setting our goals. So if our goal is to graze through September and October, we need to account for that at the very beginning of the grazing season and understand how many animals we can have on that pasture. It will almost always seem like it's fewer than what you thought you could have, but it's because we're accounting for that summer slump. We're accounting for several grazings of each piece of pasture through the season. And ultimately, we want to have enough left when we get into September and October that we can continue grazing for those 2 months. So it starts with what we call the carrying capacity. But yeah, it starts out with understanding what the carrying capacity of our land is, so we're able to meet those goals, and then just managing through the season to keep that forage value in a place where we're benefiting from it. So
you mentioned that now is the time of year where we kind of assess our pasture and determine maybe a plan going forward if we need to improve anything or keep on the path we're on. Shooting down later into the fall now, end of fall, early winter, are there any parts of those plans that maybe need to be implemented then?
Yeah, so fall is when we want to just kind of stop for a minute and think about the entire grazing season up to this point. Like, how has it gone? What things have we seen? We just want to assess our pastures. Do we like what we have growing in our pastures? And as I mentioned earlier, this is the composition of a pasture is always kind of evolving for multiple reasons. It's a product of how we manage, but it also is a product of the growing conditions. So if we've got a pasture that has a diversity of species of grasses in it, we'll see one thrive 1 year and another thrive the next year based on the conditions. But overall, what we want to do is just look at it and say, are we happy with this? Or do we feel like we need to do some things to maintain production long-term? Do we need to introduce some other species? Do we need to fill it in because there's some open ground to get more growth? Do we feel like we're maybe not getting as much yield as we should be? And then from there, we can start to identify solutions. And again, we always go to management. How could our management fix whatever issue we're seeing? Maybe rotating a little more could be the solution. And then what in addition to management? Are we short on any nutrients? The one that we always tell people to take a look at is potassium. In a typical grazing season, we're maybe removing around 30 pounds of potassium. If you make hay on those acres, then you're removing even more. 3 ton per acre hay harvest, which would be a couple harvests in a season. That's a fairly modest yield. That's going to remove about 150 pounds per acre of potassium. So there is a chance that at some point you need to supplement some potassium. So we tell people just take a soil sample, see what that tells you. If you do need to supplement some potassium, you can do it through manure or you can do it through fertilizer. But it's always a good idea to do it in the fall because you're setting yourself up for the next growing season. And the potassium also plays a really important role in your legumes, such as red clover, which is prevalent in a lot of pastures. It helps them to be stronger to make it through the winter. So are you happy with what's growing? Do you need some nutrient additions? If you do decide that you do need to do some renovation, I want to fill in some open spots. Well, then you can think about what equipment do I have access to? How do I plan on doing this? Do I want to do it in the fall or in the spring?
Jason Cavadini, the Extension Grazing Outreach Specialist. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Kylie Allen.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. September 16th, Maine and Oregon were the first to be sued by the Trump Department of Justice for refusing to provide voter data to be shared within federal agencies. 6 more states have been sued, and it could be a good thing. September 25th, DOJ rolled out complaints for Pennsylvania, Michigan, California, Minnesota, New Hampshire, and New York. In August, Pennsylvania Secretary of State Al Schmidt, a Republican, told DOJ, "Your letter dated August 14 specifically asked for detailed personal and confidential information, including driver's license numbers and Social Security numbers, for all Pennsylvania voters. This request and reported efforts to collect broad data on millions of Americans represent a concerning attempt to expand the federal government's role in our country's electoral process," unquote. States have loudly reminded DOJ that the states and Congress are empowered by the U.S. Constitution for election oversight, not the federal government, and that the requests violate both state and federal privacy statutes. Writing in Election Law Blog, professor of law at LMU Loyola Law School, Justin Levitt, writes that the DOJ legal action could turn out to be a good thing. He said, "Now there will be federal judges carefully examining the claims that DOJ has made about its authority under specific statutes and truly putting them to the test." We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Are you Sally Flores, organizing director for the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition?
So you're okay with undermining the will of the voter? Great. Just, do you see how terrible that sounds? And when I translate gerrymandering to Spanish, it just means manipulating election results. It's exactly what gerrymandering is, but in Spanish, the wow effect, oh my God, even in the U.S., manipulates election results. And I was like, yes, and they have a fancy word for it. They've covered it up with almost unimaginable words.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, have you ever played a video game or seen an ad that says, "Play our game, we'll give you money"? Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau joins us to talk about whether or not that's true.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinair on Air.
That number is 877-301-FARM or 877-301-3276. Rocky from Taychita does a good job keeping us updated. He even sent in some pictures of last night's sunset. We welcome those as well. Always puts a smile on my face in the morning. So thank you, Rocky, for that. I got another note, and Stu, this one you will enjoy. A note that says, "It's hard to believe World Dairy Expo wraps up tomorrow and it's only going to be 90 degrees. Is that the case?
Well, I'd say 88 degrees in Madison, but I guess that's close to 90.
Close to 90.
It works, doesn't it? I mean, we're looking for the warmth, and it absolutely has settled in and has been sticking around all week. Today, probably the warmest, really close tomorrow as well. Temps for a lot of folks in southern Wisconsin in the upper 80s. Just a really incredible pattern. The upper level high way out over the New England states, but still very strong, still blocking activity for moving into our part of the Midwest. Take, for instance, the cool front that's just off the northwest corner of Minnesota and back to southwest North Dakota. It was about there yesterday, and there is rain north of that boundary. There's a little activity up on the northern edge of the UP and up into southern Canada. More of that activity back around Winnipeg and just up into northern Canada, north of Minnesota, and far northwest North Dakota, northern Montana. That's where it is. It's not going to get here in a hurry. That cool front will try and approach this weekend. Out ahead of it, the southerly winds, mostly south and southwest, will get a bit stronger for tomorrow and on into the day Sunday, and will really bring in a lot of mild air from the south. That helps push those temperatures up today, tomorrow, and even Sunday for that matter. But that front does begin to edge in, and some small rain chances start to pop up. Oh, like there could even be a very isolated sprinkle around Eau Claire yet late today. Don't count on it. Just a really slight chance. I think as we start wrapping up the weekend, late Sunday into Sunday night, western and far northwestern Wisconsin could start to see that small chance for a little rain, hit or miss showers. I think that chance then starts to show up Sunday into Monday, almost statewide. I don't expect it to amount to a great deal, not big amounts of rain, but a little rainfall could be seen. That may slow down some of the fieldwork progress. I saw a whole lot of combines in the soybeans yesterday everywhere I went. I guess it's that time. Things have been drying down, and the work is coming at us in a big way. And if you can take advantage of another beautiful day today and then Saturday and Sunday and really make some fieldwork progress, you're going to be just that much ahead. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Did you just plant Pioneer Brand Z-Series soybeans again?
You bet your next level genetics I did. After last year's huge yields, why wouldn't I want to maximize that Z-Series momentum?
Right. How could I forget about that performance? It totally beat our expectations. Let's unleash some Z-Series on those acres. Come on.
Now you're talking. With that kind of ROI, why would we plant anything else?
Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
At Rural Mutual Insurance, we understand harvest season can bring long hours, tough decisions, and added stress. That's why this week on the Midwest Farm Report, we're shining a light on mental health in agriculture. Tune in each day or catch the Midwest Farm Report podcast to hear real stories from Wisconsin farmers and experts. And visit ruralmutual.com/farmsafety for resources to help you and your family stay safe and healthy this harvest season. Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Yeah, speaking of that Rural Mental Health Week coming up, we do have some really moving stories lined up for next week. Some good reminders of how the agriculture community can help each other out. That starts, again, on Monday. And speaking of looking ahead, Stu, how are we going to round out World Dairy Expo and lead into the weekend? What do you got for our Compeer forecast?
Well, it's going to be on a very warm note, Stephanie. Sunshine and very warm. We could be in the mid-80s in the north, upper 80s in the south today. The southwest winds around 5 to 10. We'll stay clear overnight, not cooling that much. Very upper 50s and low 60s with the south breeze. Another sunny day, warm Saturday. Again, in the mid or upper 80s, the warmest in the state, probably 87 or so. South winds 5 to 15. Those winds do pick up a bit. And by Sunday with sunshine, low to mid-80s, south winds almost 10 to 20, could be gusting near 25 miles per hour, maybe 30 in the southeast. And then that chance of rain late Sunday night into Monday. By Monday morning, hopefully, Stephanie, we can say there's some kind of measurable rain around, but at least some raindrops ought to be seen.
Oh, and we're going to be curious about that. Thank you so much, Stu. That's our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Please let us know what you see in your rain gauge. Again, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276 as those rain chances creep in on Sunday night. And again, enjoy the summery temps while they're around. Upper 80s for World Dairy Expo. Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. Visit them at compeer.com. Pam Yonke will also be bringing broadcasting with Compeer today. So follow along with us at Midwest Farm Report on Facebook to see that. Up next, we're visiting a Brown County farm that's been in the same family for more than 100 years. You're not going to want to miss that.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent interview on John and Gordy in the Morning when they're joined by the fabulous farm babe, Pam Youngke.
The Department of Ag has a problem with Wisconsin stockyards, livestock yards.
This is something that's going to impact potentially farmers no matter what they market. So what the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection is proposing are really, really escalated fees for the license that they give to the markets that sell cattle, the people that truck the cattle from the farm to the market. I'm not kidding you. I'll just ask you guys this. If you got a bill in your house that went up 1,666%.
Wow.
I think that, well, first of all, I think you might require medical attention.
Right.
But, you know, the catch with this one is farmers don't have a choice. If the departments decide they're going to charge these fees for their services, it really is like a fine. I talked to Kurt Larson, who is the president and CEO of the Equity Livestock Sales Cooperative. They must have, I want to say, about 11 livestock yards where cattle are brought to a central location. Buyers come to that location, and that's where the business is transacted. Well, if they if this fee goes into place, it goes from $400 a year per location to more than $7,000 per year for that same location. Now, to you and I, that seems just absolutely ludicrous.
It is.
But
right.
They say that these rules have not been changed since 2009, and it's necessary to finance the program. Now, Kurt Larson has done a lot of work on the numbers. He said that there is no justification in the hours that the Department of Ag staff is spending giving these licenses to justify that. The other thing he said is a lot of this is about traceability. You know how consumers want to know where an animal came from, what farm and all that. And he said that's really a food safety issue that farmers are already dealing with by putting ear tags in their animals so they you know where it's coming from by keeping really good records, especially in Wisconsin with all our dairy cows. And he said in other states where this has become an issue, there are shared parties that split divvy these license fees. So this is this I'm telling you, this is a dust up in a big way. The fees are going to get passed on to the farmer. And they're saying, hey, wait a minute, we already are doing our part.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The federal government shut down for another day. ABC's Johnny Fernandez says there will be another vote on the budget, but it's likely to fail.
Democrats demand Republicans reverse $1 trillion in Medicaid cuts and extend $400 billion in Obamacare subsidies to stop premiums from soaring for millions.
I'm allowed to cut things that should have never been approved in the first place.
The fight is far from over, with the jobs of federal workers at stake. The president signaled plans to work with the White House budget director to decide which government programs to eliminate.
The superintendent of schools in Des Moines, Iowa, detained by immigration officials last week, now facing federal charges. This is sentencing day for Sean Diddy Combs. Prosecutors say he deserves 11 years behind bars on prostitution charges. His lawyers say time served should be enough. And Taylor Swift's Life of a Showgirl dropped at midnight. This is ABC News.
Bring on the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. It's the Brewers and the Cubs tomorrow, just after 1 p.m. in Game 1 of the Best of 5 Divisional Series in Milwaukee. After being swept by the Yankees in New York at the start of the season, who would have thought the Brewers would set a franchise record of 97 wins on the way to winning their division? Pat Murphy.
No one expected this.
to break the franchise record for wins. Would you have said that coming out of New York or after opening day here? It just shows you who's in the room.
The Brewers have had the past week off. Another workout session at the ballpark today. Are they ready now for the playoffs? Freddy Peralta will start for Milwaukee.
We just have to stay focused and keep doing what we've been doing, trusting in each other, just to remind us ourselves that we never have to give up and keep going.
College football, the Badgers take on number 20th-ranked Michigan in Ann Arbor. Kickoff tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome John Sabo from First Tee Wisconsin. And it's a bar band Friday night, so our Wisconsin music expert Terry Barr drops by with fun music and great chat.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation, and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Fall-like temperatures will be back next week. We're going to be dealing with this sunny summer-like weather for a few more days. Today, sunshine, mid to upper 80s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, back into the 60s. Tomorrow, sunny and windy with a high again in the mid to upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp, 62.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, 2 indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay.
The WLAK Go for the Green and Gold text win contest is powered by Amory Chevrolet. Lifetime warranty, trusted service, hometown values. Amory Chevrolet, where people matter most.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You know what I'm a sucker for at a Chinese buffet?
Crab rangoons.
Yep. I'll have about 4 or 5 of those things.
And they have cocktail weenies, which is a nice delicacy at the Chinese buffet.
You know, I'm trying to think of a buffet I went to that had cocktail weenies.
Who's eating that?
I don't know.
Even if you have a gourmet recipe at home, you're not making cocktail weenies. You're certainly not eating them when you go to the Chinese buffet.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent Maggie Dawn Show interview with 32nd State Senate District Senator Brad Pfaff.
I wanted to talk to you about consolidation across basically every subsector of the agricultural industry. This is the phenomena of, hey, do you miss your local hardware store on Main Street? Well, that's because Walmart moved in. It means that they can, without even getting in a room and agreeing about it, effectively push prices up, especially when measured against inflation. In other words, there's price gouging going on because of consolidation. You care about this deeply. You've been following this deeply, and it is just getting worse, is it not?
It surely is getting worse, and quite frankly, it's wrong. So if you are going to grill a hamburger tonight or grill a steak, I want to let you know that while that beef may have come from the countryside all over this nation, the thing is, there are four meat packers in this country that dominate 80% of the marketplace. And I also ask you to envision an hourglass in which you have hundreds of thousands of independent family farmers, and then envision the bottom of that hourglass in which you have millions of consumers, and then you have four meat packers at the dead center of that hourglass. So everything gets run through there. I believe that there needs to be a real thorough evaluation of what's happening. But again, this is a domestic marketplace and even an international marketplace, and it really is putting a squeeze on our family farmers, but also I would say on our consumers as well, because I think it restricts our choice. And that is why I pushed legislation, Maggie, in order to try and broaden this supply chain, make sure that we have more small town meat packing facilities. We call them locker plants out here in the countryside, where you can pull into a local meatpacking place and buy your summer sausage or buy your pork chops, and it's all local. And so I'm very proud within the Evers administration, there has been more money that's gone to local meat processing. These are family-owned operations. They're on Main Street, and it's a win-win for our consumers as well, because we get greater choice and greater variety when it comes to the food products that we can purchase and eat and enjoy. But yes, the consolidation that's taking place in agriculture, again, it just leads to a ripple effect. And so what happens is that the larger these meat packers get, or the larger, the more difficult it gets to be able to sell your product, your animal or your wheat or your grain, what happens is you yourself as a farmer need to get larger as far as purchase more land. And you consolidate. And again, that just leads to fewer and fewer independent entrepreneurs, family farmers on the countryside.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Good morning and welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Stephanie Hoff. Happy to be along with you on a Friday. I said earlier, it is a bittersweet end to the week as we wrap up World Dairy Expo. If you're headed out there today, the Parade of Champions and selection of the Supreme Champions will start at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Kylie Allen will bring us another story from World Dairy Expo later in the hour. First, have you got your gardening gloves ready? According to the Old Farmer's Almanac, today, October 3rd, is a prime day to plant evergreens and lilacs. The book also reminds us that green plants are not just pretty, they are nature's original air fresheners, so bring some inside. And speaking of nature, keep your eyes on the sky. After the weekend, we'll be treated to the first supermoon of 2025. It's also the first harvest moon. It'll peak Monday, October 6th, and it's going to be the biggest and brightest full moon of the year, casting a golden glow that I'm sure we're not going to want to miss. That's what's happening in the Old Farmer's Almanac. For some farms, that same moon has passed over the same family for more than 100 years. Ben Jarbo takes us to Brown County this morning to introduce us to one of those centennial farms.
The women's suffrage movement, the Treaty of Versailles, and the beginning of the Prohibition. These are all things that were taking place when the Larscheid family farm was getting started in 1919. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and as part of our Century Farm celebration, Bill Larscheid joins me with his wife Debbie and mom Judy to share the history of their Brown County farm that has created many great memories.
My great-grandfather, Henry Sr., purchased the current 80 acres we're on in 1919 and sold it to my grandpa in 2023. My grandfather milked Holsteins and showed Belgian draft horses at the local Brown County Fair. I guess he was pretty popular in that day. Later on, my mother and father bought the property in 1964, and they did most of the Holstein milking. Started out with a small herd of milk cows that me and my brothers and my sisters would milk before school and after school, do the chores, do all the summer stuff. And then my wife and I finally purchased the land and the property in 1996. We bought 20 of the acres. And then in 2005, we purchased it and we ran Black Angus beef on the farm until 2014. So we got rid of the beef in 14, and now we rent the land to a local farmer, and he farms it and pays me the rent money.
When we look at the history, 100 years, that's a long time. Farm has gone through a lot of interesting times throughout history here. What are some of those key things that are stories that you know of through those times of how the farm was able to get through them?
Well, I remember back in the 1970s when we had the drought conditions, our crops weren't doing well. And the local church out in Pulaski asked farmers who had more to pile it on a wagon, and farmers that needed it come and take it and bring the wagon back. And that's basically how our farm in the 70s made it through some of those drought years. Very thankful for my dad was working out at the time that they could afford to keep the family farm running with whatever prices he was getting at the time. Through our years when we were younger, we did raise hogs when we got, my brothers and I were in high school for FFA projects and club projects to show at the fair. One of the stories we had was we lost a sow pig, and she had eight little ones, And my brothers and I decided to bottle feed them. And those pigs, until they were 40 pounders, would follow us all around the yard. And it was just hilarious. People would come here and watch the Larshide boys and the pigs walking around the yard. And it was sort of comical at the time.
The pigs were kind of like dogs, like your pets there.
They were. They would come when we called them. Oh, would they run to us? My mom would mix up a big batch of milk replacer, and we'd walk outside with the bucket. And before we could get the bucket on the ground, those pigs were right in the bucket drinking. It was fun raising those pigs.
When you think about how the farm has lasted through these 100 years, what do you think your ancestors, your grandparents, and your mom, what would you say, what do they think about how the farm is doing now?
It's different. I wasn't the farm girl when I got married. I was the cheesemaker's daughter. And I knew about farms, but I learned very quickly. I was pretty good at milking and carrying pails of milk, because in the beginning we carried them from the cow into the milk house and dumped it in, and I was right with them. One other note, though, my husband's sister will be 100 years old in January, so she was here from the start.
From just learning to farm to the fairgrounds to now the fifth generation, the Larshide family has worked hard to keep their farm going over the last 100 years. This Century Farm interview is brought to you by Compeer Financial. If you like this story and want to hear more like it, visit our website at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Ben Jarbo.
Thank you, Ben. Advice for the 2026 growing season and an expo update are on the way.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world. To integrate a global ag and energy supply chain. To advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world. To build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Everything you've heard is true. Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are bringing you the next era of soybean performance. Believe the hype. With a generational leap in genetics, Z-Series is redefining what's possible. Ride the wave. Z-Series soybeans have unleashed unprecedented yield potential and delivered maximum return on investment. Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
It takes a lot of behind-the-scenes work and preparation to make the cattle at World Dairy Expo look their absolute best before they grace the colored shavings. Kylie Allen introduces us to a set of hands that makes it all possible. Joey LePage has been fitting cattle for about 5 years. He tells us what goes through his mind on show day.
It's always a little bit stressful. You want the cows and the heifers looks great, and you need to put works for that, but we know that we're good to do it, so just like take time and doing what we're good to do.
Now, if the show starts at 7 or 8 in the morning, what time does that mean you have to be in the barns?
Depends like how big string we have. So if we have over 15 heads, like always depends with the heifers and how many calves you get, but you need to take time to all set up before the show starts.
When you get a heifer or a cow in the chute, what's the first thing you're doing?
I always start by cleaning the body, so sometimes I use a big blower, remove like all the dust and the hay or stuff like that put on tops and on the body, and then I start to set my tops. I using a hair blower, and put the hairs on up, and then I do my top lengths. To do it, I use a clear, we name it. It's like a glue that dry really quickly. It's good for set the tops. When you blow up your top, you put it on, and then you start with the clippers to like cut the hairs and make like a beautiful triangle to make like a bones and put the heifers back like straight.
We care a lot about their udders. Do you do anything special to make those look good for the show ring?
When we're clipping the cows, we always use like thin blades to make like the shorter one to make the header looks really good. And then at the show day, we're using glue to set the teeth the most perfectly possibly and shorter enough. And sometimes you need to set the teeth, and to make it look like shine, you put the baby oil gel, you put it that on, and it's looked really good with the lights and the spotlight in the ring.
Kylie Allen visiting with Joey LePage in the barn at World Dairy Expo. He's been fitting cattle for about 5 years. You can find more of these stories at MidwestFarmReport.com on our podcast page. Up next, Farm Director Pam Yonke visits with Helena Agri about what you should be thinking about for the 2026 growing season.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
At Amory Chevrolet, people come first. Built on trust and hometown values, they offer reliable service and peace of mind with a lifetime warranty on every new Chevrolet, plus select pre-owned and certified vehicles. With the best selection in stock and complete service and parts department, their factory-trained ASE-certified technicians are proven to keep your vehicle running strong. Conveniently located off of Highway 46 on Cornwall Avenue in Amory, Wisconsin. Amory Chevrolet, where they treat people like people every day.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Todd Albaugh.
The World Dairy Expo is underway in Madison, and tariffs, how they're affecting agriculture. We'll discuss it all with Midwest Farm Report Director Pam Yonke next time.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Event a couple weeks ago that really gave farmers an opportunity to observe how different hybrids were performing, some of the challenges when it comes to the disease or stock quality there in front of their faces. How did it go?
Yeah, thanks for having me on again today. We did have a plot day on September 5th. It was kind of a multifaceted plot. We have all of our seed suppliers come in, our main chemistry reps come in, and it gives the growers the opportunity to talk to them, see what they are seeing in a bigger area than just our Greene County footprint. We also did a chipper day that day. So if guys had not chopped any corn silage yet or wanted to see what the moisture was, they could bring that in. We chipped it and sent the samples in to give guys an idea. But it really gives them the opportunity to come in the field. We split that plot in half. We do a very high yield opportunity. So part of the plot we treat kind of like I always relate it back to feeding cattle. We spoon that feed that crop. It's nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, zinc throughout the season rather than just putting it all up front. And what it allows us to do is show growers that show up, if we spoon feed certain varieties and hybrids, that's how we start making these higher yields on some of these more racehorse type corns. So a lot of fun for me, but I probably have a little more passion for that than the average bear.
Well, but you're not alone. You bring in a lot of representatives. If people say, well, I talk to Steve all the time, you give them a menu of people they can do a little deeper dive on specific things or specific varieties.
Yeah, and that's part of bringing in these reps. I mean, some of these seed reps cover a corner of the state. They might cover half the state. So if somebody's having a challenge with SDS or white mold in beans and they want to ask that rep, hey, I have this specific soybean, what are you seeing? And it just gives them an opportunity to maybe get a better grasp on how we move forward down the road. And then it gives them the opportunity to, if they're going to change their management system on the fertilizer programs, if a guy's going to go from urea to UAN, or if we're going to side dress some nitrogen, he can look at these high-end yield part of this plot and kind of say, okay, I want that particular hybrid or variety because I plan on taking this practice. So we kind of put a crash course out there, let guys see what the opportunity is. Obviously, Mother Nature still has the trump card in this, right? If she doesn't allow rain to fall or whatever, that can hurt us a little bit, but I guess it gives us the opportunity to control what we control, right?
Yeah, learning together for sure. Steve Bailey along with us, branch manager of the Monroe location for Helena Agri. Let's talk a little bit about your observations then, Steve. We still have plenty of harvest ahead of us. What things are resonating with you right now, and what kinds of constant conversations are you having with your clients?
Yep. So Steph Weiss is our precision gal. She's been going out here quite a bit in the last 10 days to 2 weeks and pulling stock nitrate tests. So you've heard me talk several times on this interview of scoreboarding. So we went out with the guys that are running on our whole farm program, which is our precision program, and we'll pull stock nitrate tests, send them in and see what this plant's telling us at this instance. So if we send one in today, get the results back. If it is optimal, that means we have the right amount of nitrogen in that plant to get the optimal amount of yield and or test weight. If it's low, we can look back at the practices and kind of see what maybe we can fix next year for that grower, or if it's real optimum or high, I should say high, not optimum, but is there places we can make adjustments too? Is it pushing the corn at a higher population to get more yield, or pulling back the nitrogen if we deem that the best thing? So that's kind of a hot topic right now. She's getting those results back. A lot of soil sampling being done right now. I am hearing some yield, some beans coming off. I did see here over the weekend some corn being harvested too. So I believe yields are pretty good. I can't put a number to that yet. I know that's the biggest question I usually get, but guys in general seem to be fairly happy. So makes me feel good. You know, hopefully we did everything we could to get them the best ROI.
Right. Well, and, you know, the next question you talk about the yields. The next question is, how am I gearing up my decision making for 2026? We already know that the pencils are going to have to be pushed pretty solidly, Steve. And you're suggesting that now is really a good time to be having those early discount conversations because you're going to need every penny you can save.
Yeah. So seed selling is in full swing here. Our best offer for discounts, early pays, volumes, and that is coming up in October. So to help these guys, if they know they're going to stick with a specific variety hybrid or seed company with us, I would advise guys to get in, talk to your sales rep, and lock those in. It also gives you the opportunity to most likely get the seed size you want that fits your planter the best. And I've always said too, when I was a regional sales manager for a seed company, the early stuff that comes in usually is the best germ. So that allows us to know exactly what we need in our shed for our growers, and we can get that in early. So whether it's seed, fertilizer, getting that stuff buttoned up would be something I would advise you to do here real soon.
Excellent. Always looking at it through a producer's lens. Steve Bailey joining us today, branch manager of the Monroe location for Helena Agri. Start those conversations now. If you get an opportunity for another field event, try to take time and observe some of the information that they're providing for you. That's why they do it. Want to find out more? Want to get connected with good people like Steve Bailey? All you need to do is jump online, HelenaAgri.com. With Steve Bailey from Monroe, I'm Pam Yonke.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Matt Nair on air.
He joins us every Friday at this time for some recombobulation. He is also Civic Media's political editor. Dan Schaefer is here.
Tom Tiffany has made it official. He is running for governor. I think he is a Trump endorsement and a strong fundraising quarter away from clearing the field.
Well, but Tony Weed has endorsed him, which is like being Trump adjacent.
It's like the transitive property of endorsements.
Yes.
The 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, only just sad.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
A lot more time and effort needed to grow Christmas trees than you might think. That's next on Farm to Fork. 4 months ago, I began airing a message about the possibility that the dozen regional centers for agricultural safety and health were at risk of closing because of funding cuts. I've now learned that those funds will not be shut off and that the centers may continue operating. One center representative said, quote, "We are convinced that media visibility and support help turn the tide." So, let's pick up where I left off with our 2025 Farm Safety and Health campaign. Before you take on some risky task or project on the farm, ask yourself, what would happen if this goes south? If I get hurt or even die in the process, what would happen to my family and the farm? Use your best judgment to decide what's acceptable or unacceptable risk. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. Raising Christmas trees is pretty much a full-time job. It is at least for John Tillman, a Christmas tree farmer in the state of Washington.
Somewhere around mid-January, we start prepping our fields, which is removing stumps, doing some soil amenities with lime, things like that, getting our seedlings. And so up through the end of March, we're planting trees and base pruning trees, putting the handles on the bottom so that the trunk goes in the stand nice and cleanly. Then through April, through May, we're checking for funguses and insects, things like that, making sure that we're trying to keep the trees healthy.
Summer is also a busy time for Tillman's tree farm.
We start a culturing season in early July, and that will go through typically about the end of September, where we're going out straightening leaders, trimming sides of the trees, hopefully making sure that we have something that looks good for tagging.
Tillman says the Christmas tree harvest starts in early November.
We harvest the tree, we carry it out by hand so it's not ever hitting the dirt. We put it through the baler, tag it accurately, get it to the loading areas, and hopefully doing that within 2 or 3 days of the ship dates. After harvest, typically we'll take a month off, roughly, because we've just worked 30 to 45 straight days.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, we'll get you set for the National League Division Series because we'll finally know who the Milwaukee Brewers are playing and when Game 1 gets started on Saturday.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A step forward for clean energy in Wisconsin, the Public Service Commission has approved its first wind farm in 14 years. The Badger Hollow Wind Energy Center will be built in Iowa and Grant counties. At the same meeting, commissioners also approved a new solar farm in Walworth and Jefferson counties. It might be fall, but it sure doesn't feel like it. Some Wisconsin communities like Milwaukee have already seen record highs, and that's bad news for our fall colors. Experts with the Wisconsin State Climatology Office say warm fall nights mean more muted leaf colors. And yep, climate change is making our nights hotter and hotter. Right now on the Defender podcast, AI data centers are racing ahead in Wisconsin, but staggering energy and water demands raise serious questions. Tune in for an in-depth discussion on data center secrets at CleanWisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Police in the UK say one of the two people killed in the Manchester synagogue attack may have been killed by a bullet fired by police. The attacker did not have a gun. The only shots were fired by police. The gunman also killed that way. Another victim of the attack was stabbed to death. Also from Britain, the Bishop of London, Sarah Mullally, has been named as the new Archbishop of Canterbury, the first time a woman has been selected as a spiritual leader of the Church of England. The Senate returns to session today, and a vote is expected on the budget. However, it's not expected to pass, meaning the government shutdown will likely continue.
The Senate returns to session later today, but Majority Leader John Thune says if Democrats don't fund the government by tonight, lawmakers will be sent home for the weekend, stretching the shutdown longer.
That's ABC's Johnny Fernandez in Washington. Sean Diddy Combs will be sentenced today. Prosecutors want 11 years behind bars. This is ABC News.